empowers us, to God, Lord, to come forth, to God, with victory because of Your grace, because of what You've given to us, God, Lord. Lord, I surrender to that, God. I surrender to, Lord, to the strength that You have for me, God, tonight, God. I surrender, God, Lord, to the health You've given me. I surrender tonight, to God, Lord, to the victory, to the power, to God, Lord, to all that You have for me, God, Lord, the provision that You've given to me, God. I surrender tonight, God. Lord, I lay down everything else, to God, Lord, all that I hold up, God, so valuable, God. And I surrender tonight, God, unto You, unto Your power, unto Your might, to God. Lord, that I can rise up in strength, God. I surrender tonight, God. In the power of Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless somebody. Amen. Give somebody a hug.
The kids can go to their classes. Amen. He has to run to the little boys' room. But... anyone have a testimony? Anybody? Anybody? Don't jump up. You do? Janie's over there. I do. Anybody? Did you say you had one? A testimony? Aww. Oh. Good. Thank you.
Pastor Valentine said to pray for understanding, yes. And... every day I pray for understanding, and it seems like my week's been going a lot better. So Pastor Valentine told us we need to pray for understanding. And every morning driving to work, I've been praying for understanding, and my week's been going a lot better.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. I'd unlock something. Amen. You got my glasses? Pull my glasses. That unlocked. That's, we need to do that. Amen. We need to pray for that. I thank You for that. That does something to us. So we get understanding, and man, by the Spirit of God, man. I love those words because it says gracefully broken. That, you know what, God brings us a place, and that, we understand what that means. That it means to bring us to a place where that we're broken from things. This, I want you to hear this. We're broken from things that have caused a struggle and defeat in our lives, and by His grace, it brings us out of that place if we surrender to it. Amen. If we surrender to that, to the voice of God, surrender to what He's done for us, for surrender to that grace, what He's given to us, it brings us forth. Amen. And sometimes it takes us to be broken. If you break something off, amen, you break from that thing. And I think that sometimes we go through things, we go through wilderness things, and in the midst of that thing, you got to know, and everybody can admit, that when you go through tough times in your life and you grab hold of God and you watch God's grace bring you through that thing, there's something about that. Come on, amen? There's something about that we can have that brings us out of that place. But it's through those wilderness experiences. Jesus came through the wilderness and it challenged everything. And it was an example to us that through those wilderness, being led by the Spirit of God, it brings out of those things that in our flesh, the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, the pride of life, things that come to try to distract us and pull life out of us when we surrender in those moments. Come on, amen. It's in those moments. What are we going to do through those moments? Are we going to let our flesh overcome us? Are we going to let our just go through the motions? Are we going to let the Spirit of God drive us through that wilderness? Amen. And come up triumphant. That's what I want. Amen. That's what I want. So we got to recognize those moments, those seasons, and what am I responding to this? Come on, I want you to get. How am I responding to this wilderness? What's my response to it? How am I reacting to it? Am I being led by the Spirit? Am I walking through the Spirit of this thing? Am I letting God arise in me? Or am I letting it defeat me? Amen? But God wants us to arise. God wants to express Himself through our lives, His power, His might, all that He is. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at Colossians 3. Y'all good? Amen. That was really good, that words. I was with him every place that he went, and every one of them were just something different that if you put them all together, were just powerful. It really was. To hear those words and to hear what God's doing and to let it change you. Amen? This is Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule your hearts. Let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Amen? We need to be thankful for one another. You thankful? Thank you. Let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts richly. Let the word of God. That word means, that's the logos word. That's the logos word. That is the written word. This is what we have right here. That you let that word dwell in your hearts richly. Of Christ, dwell in your hearts richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, I said that scripture just jumped out at me today, is because I believe that we really have to have that word in us. And you understand that there's a logos word and there's a rhema word. Say logos and rhema. The logos word is right here. Amen? It's what you got your hands on. This is the logos word. This is the written word of God. The rhema word comes out of the written word where God speaks to you. How many of you guys have ever read the word of God and all of a sudden you get revelation of something? Come on, amen. That's God talking to you, giving you a rhema word. Now, the only way that you can get a rhema word is through the logos word. So, how important it is to know the logos so that you can have a rhema. You can have a word that's alive right now that comes and quickens your heart, because God doesn't do anything outside of His Spirit. So God gives us His Spirit, His Word, His Logos, this written Word, so that we can hear the Rhema Word, a word that causes you to move, a word that causes you to get up out of your turmoil and your present situation, that you can rise above it. Amen? And listen, I want you to know that we're learning. We got to learn as men and women of God not to be moved by emotions or feelings or whatever. We just got to be moved by God. Amen? Just be driven by God, by the Spirit of God. Be brought forth out of whatever we're going through with victory and power. Amen? That's what He wants us to bring us out of this. So I want you to look at Joshua 1. And this is a continuing word of what I preached a while ago. It's the Word of God. The Word become flesh. And in Joshua 1, I'm going to try to get this real quick, this part here. And I can do it in 20 minutes. You believe me? But you got to help me. Amen. I move quicker when I got response. Amen. Because what happens is if I don't hear the response, then I feel like, okay, I'm not getting this into them. I have to keep going and going and going. So ride with me. Amen. 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 Make my job easy. Hallelujah. Listen, Joshua 1:1, it says this. It says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, my servant is dead, therefore arise and go to the Jordan. Now, listen, we can understand that this is, I want us to grab hold of this for us right now, to understand that every one of us have lost something. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Every one of us have lost something. How many of you have lost something? Amen? We've lost something. And here's the moment that you've been affected by something. Maybe you've experienced some type of pain. You've experienced something in your life. This is powerful that we recognize this. See, God has given us the grace through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to come forth out of this by His grace, to get through whatever we're getting through, and it happens through His Word. So Moses was dead. That Joshua was at a place where he felt lost. He felt like he was at a place of despair and brokenness. And we have opportunities at that moment to hear the Word of God. Listen, I want you to know, this is how you get over things. This is how you break out of things. This is how you overcome. This is how you begin to experience the peace and the joy of life. Is whenever we hear that word and begin to walk in that word. You cause that word to become alive. You take the word of God and walk it out. That's what we do. The word became flesh. Jesus Christ became flesh and walked among us. It was the Word of God spoken and walked out. That's what happens. Do you understand that? That's what happens when you take God's Word and you begin to walk it out. That's walking in the Spirit. That's hearing that Word when it says that be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be one with one. And when you begin to do those things, you're walking out the Word. That's real, man. That's powerful. That's where it becomes alive. That's where you can overcome things when you let that Word become real in your life and walk it out. So that's what he was trying to get Joshua to do. Joshua, I want you to hear that Word. I want you to walk it out. I want you to move from this place. Now you can go through, repeat the same thing over and over again, or you can move on. Now, I said this last week, but what happens is sometimes what gets our attention is guilt, shame, bitterness, unforgiveness. There's four things. And every one of those things have something in common. You know what it is? They're all in your past. Shame, guilt, bitterness, unforgiveness. And every one of those things will keep you there. But God has given us a Word to walk out of that thing. Amen? To walk out of those things. Now, let's go ahead and go to Acts. This is where I wanted to get before. Acts 27, verse 8. Listen, this was Paul, and Paul was at a rough place. And I thought about this. Apostle Valentine said this. He said, this is such a powerful example of a man of God, how that he let that Word become flesh and dwelt around him. Is that when he was in prison, instead of being depressed, you might have heard this, he might have said this Wednesday, I'm not sure, but when he talked about how that when he was in that prison, that he didn't let it overcome him, he let it work for him. He let the thing that was coming against him work for him, not against him. And what it meant was that when he went through this, he said, well, I'm going to use this opportunity of being in prison to write about my God. In the midst of this prison, while he was chained to somebody, he looked at that person as a personal bodyguard that was with him at all times. And you know that they switched back and forth, so every time they would switch him, here's another one that would get opportunity for him to be around him, worshiping God, praising. Whenever he lifted up his hands, that thing that was beside him. I want you to see this. I want you to get this, that sometimes there's things that try to hold on to you. There's some things that try to keep you down. And you can let those things keep you down, or you can let that thing work for you. And he lifted up his hands, and guess what? When he lifted up his hands, that guard had to lift up his hands too. In the midst of that thing, he caused his pain, that thing that was holding him back, to lift up too, to be lifted up too. You're going to watch me worship. I'm going to worship God in the midst of this prison, in the midst of where I am right now, and I'm going to worship God. I thought that was so powerful to see that and understand that. Look at this. Look how. And so here's this guy. He's going from one prison to another prison. He's on a boat. He's on his way to Rome. He is in this boat. He's going with a bunch of other prisoners. There was a lot in this boat, and they had to go to another city. But in the midst, this was in the winter time. This was right before winter. So something was going to happen. I want you to see this, and I'm going to try to relate this to understanding the Word of God and how it works. And he says, and hardly passing it came, this is in Acts 27:8, came unto a place which is called Fair Havens. Nigh unto was the city of Lysia. Now, sometimes I want you, that word Fair Havens, it's a city, it's a place. Sometimes there's places that have names that seem enticing and good, but they're not always that way. And he says, now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was most dangerous because of the fast, now, already past, Paul admonished them. And he said unto them, sirs, listen to this, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damaged, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Listen to this. He was in the boat, those all were there, and he was declaring to them, this journey is going to cause us pain. I want you to know that sometimes we, this is why it's so important to know the Word of God. And to understand it, to grab hold of it, to let it be part of your life. Whatever area, just begin to let that Word become real in your life, whatever way that you can. Because here he says this, here's the Word of God. This is a word, a rhema word, to these ones that were there. They were about ready to go on a journey. You know, sometimes we get so hurried up and going and moving and getting out there that we need to stop before we go anywhere. We need to hear, what does God got to say about this? If we just begin to try to get that, if we just begin to stop and before we jump into things, that whatever we do, God, give me understanding to this, to my day, God. Let me understand, to God, Lord, what's it about. Let me understand, to God, Lord, give me understanding on how that I could make this day better, or how that I can receive what you have for me, that I can see, God, open the heavens, that I can see what you have for me in this moment. Because, God, you want to bless me, God. Hallelujah. You know he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out into your life. He wants to give you peace and give you joy. That's what he desires to do. He wants to do that. He's waiting for us to receive what he has for us. He waits for us. And he said this. He said, this will bring us hurt. So this is the word. I want you to look at it as a word from God. And this was declared, but this is what we do. Oh, but no, it's important. I got to go. We're in a hurry. I got to go. I got to make this happen. And it says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Don't we do that sometimes? We listen to our own voice. The owner of the ship. We're really not the owner. He's the owner. Amen. But he says that he was listening to the owner of the ship. Besides, he wasn't listening to that word. I want you to get this. I want you to hold on to this in your hearts. And he says, the ownership, more than those things which Paul was spoken, which that word that was spoken. Man, I can tell you sometimes in my life that I've stepped out and not listened or known the Word of God, but I think, well, I'm just going to step out or I'm going to do this on my own strength. Or this. It's always caused me hurt. And here's what God does. I want you to know that God has always given us direction. Everything that we do in our lives, God wants to give you direction. Sometimes it takes waiting. Sometimes it takes waiting to hear that. Sometimes it takes a heart to, Lord, I want your opinion in this matter. I don't want to just jump into things. I want to start doing that. Come on, help me tonight. I want to start doing that more. I want us to start doing that. That we just don't, well, you know, let the things that happen rule us, but we rule them. And he says, and he and because of the haven was not commodious to the winter inn, more part advised to depart thence, if by the means of might attain Phenis, and there was to winter, which was the haven, blah, blah, blah. So they were going to go. And verse 13, and it says, and when the south wind blew. Now, this is what happens. Here's this south wind, and you know a south wind, what does it feel like? It's warm. Come on, y'all know what a Caribbean breeze feels like, or that's blowing on you, and you feel the warmth of that, and something soothing about that. I want you to get this, but they were in the midst of that as it began to blow. Here's what they thought. They says that it blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Losing thence, they sailed and they left. See, this is what we do. We begin to suppose. How many of you guys have ever done that? You suppose that this is the right thing to do. You suppose that, I suppose this would be good. That's the worst thing to do, that you suppose that this is right. That this is going to work out. Because of what you see on the outside. It feels right. Come on, help me. It feels right. Sometimes we let ourselves become tricked or fooled because it felt right. How many things have you ever done? People have got into trouble. Listen, you don't do things sometimes that are wrong because they don't feel right. People don't commit sin sometimes because it doesn't feel right. People don't get addicted to things because it doesn't feel right to them. I'm being real here. But it felt right. So here's this wind blowing. But what happens whenever we do those things? What happens when we can all recognize that, to know that we fall into that trap where it felt right, it seemed right, and everything on the outside felt like this was the right thing to do. I supposed that it was going to work out for me, that it was going to happen, and I just went with it. When you just go with it. And he says, supposing they had have attained their purpose, their plan, the supposing, their opinion, that they thought this was correct. And the word, that is word dokio, and it means to think, to imagine, to consider that which appears. To consider it. That thing that appears to you, that thing that just pops up along your journey. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations, everything high that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, anything that opposes God's Word, those things we have to pull down. Those things we have to cast out of the way. So here's this moment right there that they hear this word. He says, don't go because it's going to bring hurt. And at that moment, that's when we're supposed to cast that down, that imagination. The enemy will try to put things in your mind and your thinking. And at that moment, we have to cast them down. We have to literally, emotionally, we have to stop. We have to grab that out of our mind and cast it down. And you might have to cast it down 100 times. Come on, you been there? You need to knock that thing down. Things that try to irritate you, things that aggravate you, things that cause disruption between one another, you need to cast it down. We need to trust God in the midst of whatever we're going through. Listen. And he says, and when the ship was caught, and it says, but not long after, there rose a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon. And that's where it begins to blow from the east. It was blowing nice, but now it begins to stir something up. It begins to bring... This is a wind that is, when it's in the desert in the Middle East, that it causes people to stop doing everything. And there's no motion. There's no movement. Why? Because it's so hot, that wind that blows, that it dries everything up, that you don't feel like doing anything. You know that kind of heat to where you can't even move, that you don't want to do anything unless you're sitting beside a pool. It doesn't feel good out there. So here this is this moment right here that it brings forth this situation, and it's challenging my disagreement with the Word. There's moments like that these things happen in our lives, and God lets sometimes those winds cause us to find out, what do we really believe in? Sometimes things will rise up to, and I want you to get this, I want you to understand this, that sometimes there's things that stir up within you, and the only way, if it wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't realize what was in you. Whether there was something hidden in your heart, whether you thought you went past that, but all of a sudden it comes up again. Unless we deal with it, it's going to come up again. So here it is that, but I want you to know, you can let it serve you or you can serve it. And he says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let it drive. I like that. They just let it go. So I want you to know that it's that moment where they're trying to do everything they can to keep this thing afloat. You ever been there? You do everything you can to try to keep this thing upright without flipping over, without capsizing. And they came to a point where they just said, let's just let this thing ride. Let's just let it go. And he says, and running under a certain land, which is called Claudia, he had much work to come to the boat. They had to fix the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, and struck sail. And so they let it drive. So we're driven. They were driven. They permitted it. They let it happen. And it says, and when being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. They began to throw some things off. They began to pull things off that were keeping them held down. Amen? Somebody's home. Now, ready for this? Listen to this. Verse 19, what does it say? Say it with me. Listen, the third day. Say third day. Come on, we know this enough that that means resurrection power. That means resurrection life. There's something about that, that this moment, that on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. What looked impossible, looked like it was the most darkest moment. I want you to know that God's there in the midst of it. He's waiting for us to pull on Him, to hear His opinion. We hold on to ours with dear life sometimes. But I want you to know that it takes the time that, you know what, I need to cast my imaginations off. I need to not let this bring me depression or sadness or grief or anger, but I need to cast it off. And on the third day, it says, we were cast out with our own hands, the tackling of the ship, with our own hands. We had to do it. We had to do that. We had to throw it out. We had to let this thing go. We had to surrender. And it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But God. Say, but God. Oh, I love this. It looks like it's the darkest moment, but God. But after a long absence, the Word stood up. Paul stood forth in the midst of them. I want you to hear this. That in those moments where that you're so weak, that you're so powerless, that in some of those moments is where we hear God. I want you to know that the lowest moments of my life were the biggest voices that I've heard God. The most powerful times that I heard that Rhema word quicken me. Because I was looking for it. Sometimes when everything's working out, sometimes everything's so smooth that sometimes we stop looking for it. But when that moment was dark, when everything seemed lost, they heard that word. And it stood up in the boat. And it says, and you should have... And he said this, he says, now this is Paul. Thank God that God doesn't say this to us, but He should. He says, what did He say? You should have heard unto me. You've hearkened unto me. You should have listened to me. Come on, amen? Like dad or mom would say to you, you should have listened to me. Did you ever get that? You should have listened to me. You should have heard me, because I've already told you this. I've already given you a word. I believe God could say that to every one of us. I've given you a word. And He says, you should not have loosed from Crete and have gained... You've gained this harm and loss, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Man. He says, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Ship's going down. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Can you say Jesus? Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and God hath given thee all of them that sell with thee. Every one of them, everybody that's here, will not die. Wow. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. This is what I want you to hear. He says, I believe God. It looks bad. It looks horrible. He said, but I believe God. I believe His word. The way to get out of that situation, the way to get out of that destruction at that moment was believe God. I just got to believe God. And He says, and that shall be even as it was told, and it shall be as I have told you. How about we must cast upon a certain island? He says, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up down the Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and they sounded and they found, and it goes on down. The fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They were still at that place where they were casting, they were trying to do everything they can to hold on to it. Even though they had a word, the second time they've been given a word that you won't die, just listen to what I have to say. Just hear that. You know, how much easier would it be if we just surrender? We just surrender to that word. We just surrender how many conflicts, how many pains, how many loss, how many hurts we have went over if we just would adhere to that. How much we have not have lost that we wouldn't have had to throw out of the ship because we wouldn't have left port. We could have stayed there. But because of it, we've lost things. Come on, I want you to know that churches have split and they've broken up and they didn't have to. Why? Because if we just listened to the Word, if we just come together, if we just stood together, if we had to just throw our opinion out the window. But what happens is we hold on to these things and then we get out there and we experience the hurt. And I just heard that the other day. I mean, the devastation that's happening in California, it breaks my heart. It's as big as Colorado. That's how much land was burned. Like the state of Colorado. That's how much has been burned. But I heard somebody say this. I heard one of the ladies say, I feel like we're at Armageddon, that God has deserted us. And I was like, oh, man. I thought to myself, now I'm just speaking out loud, all right? I wonder how much communication she might have had with God before it happened. How much has God might have tried to get their attention or talk to them or communicate to them that when you went through something, that it wasn't going to overcome you, or you weren't going to think that God failed you, but you're going to realize that God's in the boat with you, even though you're in a storm, that He's with you, hallelujah, and you won't be overcome. That's the word I want to hold on to. I don't care what it looks like, but if I hold on to that word, what does God say? I know His word says that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So no matter what it looks like, I can't have that opinion. So what happens is ignorance brings that opinion, and you speak that, and everybody out there saying, yeah, where's God? How come He deserted us? And it gives that reflection of God. They don't care for His people. He doesn't desire us. And He says, wherefore stirs the good cheer. He says, oh yeah, He says, and then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast out four anchors. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they let down the boat, the sea, under the color, as though they would have cast out anchors out, blah, blah, blah. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Wow. Unless you're in the ship, unless you're in that place, unless you're in that, you can't be saved. Inside that word, receiving that word, that we do it out on our own and we blame God for it. We're angry with God about it. But God says, listen, unless you're in the ship, unless you're in that ship, unless you're in the place of my protection, unless you're in that arms of my protection, unless you're in that realm. Come on, amen. You remember the prodigal son? That he took what he had, his opinion, and he left the house and he experienced so much pain. But then he came back because he realized the covering was in the house. It was in the relationship. It was in that relationship that he had, this oneness that he had with the Father that brought him this protection, this covering, this understanding of who God was, that in the midst of these things he wouldn't be overcome because he understood what he had with the Father. Jesus went to the cross. Even at that moment of darkness where he was going to be put to death, stood in that place and says, I can't see that all this out here. They're coming after me. They're going to kill me. They're going to beat me. They're going to break me. They're going to hurt me. I'm going to suffer much pain. But what do you say? My opinion is, call down some angels. I'm being real. Why would he have said that? He was in the flesh. He never surrendered, though. He said, what do you say, Father? Let your will be done. Amen? He stayed in that covering. And he wouldn't be lost. And the Father brought resurrection life. Giving God the opportunity to raise you up. Cause you to overcome. Woo! All right, let me finish. Told you I'd be done. That's 5 minutes fast. Right, Randy? Ain't it? I think so. Yeah. It says, and the soldiers cut off the ropes. They cut off the boat, the ropes, and they let it fall. While the day was coming on, they brought them all to take them to meet, saying, this is the day, the 40th day, blah, 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 blah. He says, and Paul said, I pray you, he says, eat, bring health thou shalt not hair fall on your head. He said it again. He says, no hair will fall off your head. He says, and when he had spoken, he took the bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. That's the breaking of bread. Amen. That's powerful. And then they were of good cheer. They were good cheer. And as they took some meat, and they were in the ship, 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and they cast off. Now listen to this. I'm just going to get down here. He says, and when the day, they knew this, and all of a sudden they went, and it says, and the boat wrecked and it came to a place and every one of them got off the ship. And he says, and the soldiers counseled, they were going to kill every one of the prisoners. He says, but the centurion, willing to take to save Paul, kept them all from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest hold on to the boats. And he says, and every one of them came safely to the shore. Now here's, this is powerful. He says, and when they were escaped, they came to Melatia, and there was a barbarous people there that showed no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one of us, because the present rain and because of the cold. He says, and when Paul was gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire. I'm done with this. And there a viper came out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, now I want you to know that, listen to me, the enemy wants to do everything he can to disrupt that word in your life, to get your focus off that word. And it says, there's a moment as it jumped out of that fire and latched upon Paul, he shook it off. And as he shook it off, it says it fell off and he kept doing what he was doing. He didn't move. He didn't miss a beat. He kept moving. I want you to know, and I want you to think about this, that so many times the things that we go through try to distract us and get our attention. We have to stand in that word and shake it off. Whatever comes our way, you need to say, devil, not today. And you need to shake it off. You need to shake it off. You need to break it off. You need to get it out of your hands. You need to get loose of that thing. You need to hold on to that word. And as he stood there, it says that this was an opportunity. Come on. This became an opportunity for that word to become alive. Because in the middle of that whole thing, it says that they seen that and they were waiting for him to die. They're waiting for him to die. I want you to know that word comes alive if we let it. That word is powerful. It's alive. It's not dead. Tell your neighbor it's not dead. We need to let it come alive. We need to let it, that whatever comes against us, it's that word that we hold on to. It's that word, not whatever's grabbed us, not that evil thing, not that hurt, that pain, not those things. Those things are real. Just like that snake was. But he didn't let it overcome him. Shook it off. And it became an opportunity for him to witness. Because at that moment it says that everybody that was sick, he laid hands on and they recovered. Touched a whole tribe of people. See, I want you to know, look at this, how this destruction, how the one thing after the other looked horrible, but not in Paul's eyes. This all was opportunity for God's word to come alive, to witness, to be expression of who God was. What looks like destruction. What looks like you're being overcome. Whatever that thing is, we need to stand in the Word. We need to shake it off. Hold on to what God says. Stand on what God says. Move in that. Amen? Just stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. Whatever you're facing right now, I just want each one of us that in our own space, right here, right now, which is between you and God, is for His understanding. His understanding. That passes my understanding, that goes beyond that. That I let God's word go before me, that passes all understanding, that it passes my understanding, gets beyond where I am right now, whatever I'm going through, whatever that is. I'm not going to walk out here. Come on, I want you to say, I'm not going to walk out here with the understanding that I have, but what God has. For whatever I'm going through, whatever this moment is, whatever this is right now, Lord, I want to experience the reality of who You are. I want to experience what You have for me, God. And Lord, in the midst of that, I just surrender right here, right now. I surrender. I surrender to Your will. I surrender to Your Word. I submit to that Word. Lord, I trust that Word. Cause my heart to trust that Word. Cause my heart to be awakened. Cause my heart, to God, Lord, to come alive. Cause my heart to be quickened by the Spirit of Your Word right now, God. Right now, God. Let it come alive, God. Hallelujah. Lord, that I wake up with anticipation for that day. Not fearful, but running into it, saying, God, what do You have, God? What is it before me, God? And anything that comes up and rises up against it, that I shake it off, that I loose it off me. I don't let it hold on to me. I don't let it rob my joy, rob my peace, rob my hope. But I know that the Father's with me. And I surrender to that understanding right now, right here, right now. Come on, just say, I surrender to it. I surrender to it. I lay down everything else right now, that heaviness and the power of Your name. Quicken us, God, tonight. Quicken us right here, right now. Right now. Lord, I just surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless somebody. Give somebody a hug. Come on, amen.